Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Today I want to talk about projects, and in particular, the number of images that should go in a project. This is a really sticky issue because there's no way to really gauge the correct strategy, and it's not likely to be a correct strategy that you can even decipher. Because if you show a project to 10 different people, you're likely to get 10 different answers about what's the right number of images for this project. And most of the time, we don't even get that kind of feedback. But every once in a while, we might, particularly amongst our photo friends and buddies and peers, they might tell us, well, this has got too many images, or gee, I wish I could see more, or something like that. But that's a rarity. Usually, the response that the public has when they look at our project-oriented photography is kept to themselves. And so we're never likely to know for sure. And that requires, on our part, a certain kind of sensitivity as to how many is the correct number of images. Perhaps the most common mistake I see in others' project-oriented photography is a need for more ruthless editing. I rarely find a project that I wish had more images, although there have been some. More frequently, I find projects that I wish there were a few less images, particularly if it gets a little repetitive and if it drags on too long. I wish I wasn't guilty of having too many images in a project myself, but I am. And I think that happens to all of us because we're invested in our precious images, and we want each and every one of them to have its moment in the spotlight, particularly after we've gone to all the trouble to photograph them and process them and sweat bullets over them. We care about our images. But too many images runs the high risk of leading the viewer to boredom. And when that happens, no matter how good the project is or how good the images are, boredom is not something we want people to feel when they look at our work. But here again, we're talking about something that's very subjective. One person may look at 3 images and get bored, and the next person may look at 30 images before they get bored, because how well does the artwork connect with them is an unpredictable thing, an inconsistent thing, and we basically don't know. But I think in general, the leave them wanting more advice from vaudeville is appropriate for us photographers too. We're better to have a few images shy of what we could have than a few images too many. So how do you find the right number of images? Well, I don't know of any hard and fast rules, but here's what I've discovered and what I've been teaching now for a number of years, and I think it's at least close to an answer, if not an answer, and that is that each medium has its own appropriate number of images. For example, in a gallery exhibition, how many is the correct number of images? Well, 2 is probably too few, and 200 is probably too many. How many images can someone look at when they're wandering around a gallery? Well, it's probably going to be, what, maybe 15, 20, 25, 30, something like that. It would be a rare exhibition that could maintain people's interest for 75 images or 100 images. So when I think in terms of gallery presentations, I tend to think about, 3 dozen. 36 images, plus or minus, is probably pretty sweet spot for galleries. What about for books? Well, a book needs more images because they're probably going to be 120 to 220 pages long. And so you're more likely to need 80 or 100 or 150 images for a book. That's why so many times what we find in photography books is a major retrospective of a photographer's best work rather than project-oriented. The project-oriented books tend to be a little smaller. Maybe they're 75 or 100 or 120 pages. The retrospectives get to be the longer ones. So books have more images than gallery exhibitions do. But hard and fast numbers, forget it. I don't think we can get hard and fast numbers. An email is probably, a half a dozen images is about as many as you're going to put there. A PDF, maybe a couple of dozen images. Maybe they can stretch to as many as 50 images, but there's a challenge with that the files get bigger and downloads get lengthier, as well as the fact that people may develop a certain viewer fatigue after that many images. And besides, the phone, the tablet, the computer are all geared towards the quick view, the swipe left, swipe right. And so if we have too many images, people will just flip all the way through them and they don't get much. When I do a 12-page or a 16-page chatbook, it's probably going to be 10 to 15 images, something like that. And as you can see, these are all relatively conservative numbers. So what do you do if you have a project that's got more than that, if you've got a fairly lengthy project? Well, there are a few ideas that can help. But the first and foremost is edit, 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 edit. And maybe if you can't do that yourself, it might be worthwhile getting someone to help you with that process. Either a professional who knows about editing, or even just a spouse or a family member, or a photo peer, who can look at your images with fresh eyes and maybe help you cull out those that aren't absolutely necessary and important. My general rule of thumb is if I remove an image and it diminishes the project, then I want to keep the image in. If I remove the image and it doesn't really affect the project at all, then it isn't necessary, so you can go ahead and take it out. Regardless of your strict and ruthless editing, the greatest chances are when it comes to your own work, you're going to end up wanting to include more images than it will be wise to include, because you'll either start to be repetitive with images or people will get bored because the project is taking too long. So what do you do there? Well, here's a few practical examples of ways that you can, squeeze in a few more images without necessarily running the risk of boring people by providing too much. The first is consider including a few gang pages. A gang page is a publishing term for when you put more than one image on a page, whether that's a single page in a PDF or a single page in a book or even a folio. You could have multiple images on one page, almost like a trilogies kind of thing. And so that allows you to put in additional images, particularly useful if the images that go on a gang page are all related to one another in one way or another, graphically or from the subject point of view. And if you've got a fairly lengthy project, you could maybe have several gang pages in the course of 25 or 50 or 75 images, quote unquote. Think of them in terms of pages. So let's say you did a project that was 35 pages. You might be able to get in 40 or maybe even 60 images if you have several gang pages in the project somewhere. The second suggestion I have is that you can break your project up into chapters, that is to say, consumable chunks. Have you ever noticed that when you read a novel, for example, you rarely put in the bookmark and put the book down to come back to it later in the middle of a chapter? Most readers, they want to get to the end of the chapter, and then they stop there. So when they pick up the book the next time, they're starting on a fresh chapter. That's dividing the world into chunks that are digestible, that people can get through in one sitting, for example. So if you have a lengthy project that consists of 60 or 80 images, why not divide it into 4 or 5 or 6 sections? I tend to think of them as chapters, but they could be sections, and literally divide them so that there's maybe a section title, or you number them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 or something like that, so that people who are viewing your project get a little bit of visual relief, and it changes the rhythm from that unending staccato of image, 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 image. Eventually people just say, that's enough. I mean, stop. But if you give them a little breather by changing into a new section or a new chapter, or maybe every 5 or 6 pages you have a little bit of text that indicates that we're now transitioning from the first part of the project to the second part of the project, onto the third part of the project, etc. Dividing your project into chapters is very useful. You still have to take each chapter and edit it ruthlessly, but at least you can have a much longer project that's much more comfortable for people to consume when your project is divided into sections or chapters. Related to that is if you've got something like a chapbook project or even a PDF, divide it into volumes. Now, when I think of volumes, I think of a 1 or 2 or 3 volume set of books. Each book is its own independent thing physically, and so you could take a long project and divide it into 3 volumes. Let's say if it's a chapbook and you've got 16-page chapbooks, you could have 3 volumes of 16-page chapbooks, which gives you 48 total pages for the project, but divided amongst the 3 volumes. It's related to the chapters idea because you could have 1 physical product that's divided into 4 or 5 chapters, and it sort of approaches the same thing, but volumes give you an even greater productivity because each volume might be 24 pages. And if you have 3 volumes and you've got a 72-page medium that you can spread your pictures into, and if some of those are ganged pages, well, that lets you use even more of your images. The next idea is that when you have a really big project with lots and lots of images, maybe you don't. Maybe what you really have is multiple projects, and you could divide your project into subsets and maybe relate them to one another somehow with subtitles, but maybe not. Maybe just buried in your really big project are 2 projects or 3 projects. So it's a matter of where you sort of draw the line that says, okay, everything inside this line goes in this project. Well, if that's too many images, then try dividing it into 2 projects so that you've got 1 group in this project, another group in another project. Maybe they're offered into the world as independent projects, or can you see easily enough this could be the 2-volume thing I was talking about a minute ago. The next idea is try serializing your big project. So if you've got a big project and you say, okay, this is 144 images about the desert Southwest, that's fine, but it's too many for anybody to sit down and look at one time. But you could turn that into a serialized project where you divide it into months. And so every month you have a new 12 images come out. At the end of the year, your project is 144 images. So it's you still got all of them in the project, but you sort of dribble them out over time, as it were, so that people are looking forward to the next set. Finally, and probably my least favorite option, but I'll include it in here anyway, is to turn your large projects into videos. Because in videos, you're in charge of the length of time that each image is shown on the screen. You are not in charge when you have a PDF or a physical book, because the rate at which the images are viewed is determined by the viewer, not by you, the producer. But when you produce a video, you do have control. And so you can take certain images and have very quick cuts. Maybe they're only on the screen for a fraction of a second. Other images may be on the screen for 5 or 10 seconds. You can also control the mechanism that makes the screen change from one image to another through fades or swipes or cuts or whatever. So that helps you pace the project a little bit. The chief disadvantage to this method, of course, is not just that the viewer can't linger over an image that really impresses them. unless they hit the pause button, I suppose, but I don't know that very many people do that. But the real disadvantage of a video is that it's a video. It's not a still image, so it's not appropriate for things like gallery exhibitions or handmade chat books or even PDFs. But it would be ideal for a large project on YouTube. Although, speaking of YouTube, be careful in YouTube, because it used to be that people would put things on YouTube that were 60 minutes or 30 minutes, but definitely the trend is to go shorter and shorter and shorter. That's one of the reasons I think we have a hard time with large projects, is because the audience is being trained by things like TikTok and commercials on television, etc., for images to flash by so quickly. In that case, the accumulated effect of all those quick cuts is what you're really producing, not an individual lingering over an individual image so that the person can really connect deeply with a still image. Videos have advantages, but for us still photographers, they present all kinds of problems that are difficult, if not impossible, to overcome, because the nature of video is so radically different from the nature of still photography. I know lots of photographers are starting to explore videos, and that's fun and great, but it is a different thing than the appreciation of still photographs and books and things like that. So, in general, the best answer is edit, 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 be ruthless, get down to the very best images. Don't eliminate ones that you need, but definitely try to eliminate all the ones that you don't need, even as painful as that is for us photographers. That's the best answer. But if that's not an answer that you're comfortable with, these other ideas might be useful. And just for a short recap, edit, 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 gang pages, divide it into chapters, separate it into volumes, divide your big project into multiple projects, serialize the project, and maybe consider videos.
Copyright 2024, Lenswork Publishing.